Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 10. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. I think, beloved, that these words are very applicable to our dear brother, whose testimony, through the grace of God, we highly honor tonight. When I think of this simple verse, I'm brought to observe the activity of God in five actions which he attributes in picture to the activity of the eagle. Moses is speaking, of course, of the people of God, and he's referring to the house of Jacob, introducing to them the mercy of God in those early days. I want you to think of these five things that reveal to me what God does. And how does he do it? I believe, beloved, he does it through the type of men that he sovereignly chooses and wondrously calls. I haven't time this evening to expound this verse because these five actions are very impressive. To me, they're very instructive. And if you allow me, I think if we look at the action of God and think of the five men he raised up to give us our New Testament epistles, there might be opportunity for you to parallel those five distinct men with these five great actions of God toward his people. I do believe in my own heart tonight, and I don't think I'm alone, that as I examine the activity of God in this verse, and realize that he does it through his servants, I'm prepared tonight to identify my beloved brother, fellow servant, and fellow laborer, as an eagle-like man. I want to convey that from the depth of my heart to all in this meeting tonight. Mind you, I'm not speaking about parrots. They're easy. They'll just tell you what you say to them. And they will repeat it exactly as you say it. God is not speaking about that type of thing. I hope that we are delivered from anything of that nature. And God is not speaking about peacocks either. You know their characteristic. They draw attention to themselves by spreading out their plumage. God is speaking here of the eagle. He's speaking of eagle-like men that he can use in the mighty service of God. You know, I just want to think very briefly with you of how this parallels in my mind with our dear brother tonight. I'm thinking of Moses. In chapter 3 of Exodus, he's called of God at the bush. I think we see in that the sovereign hand of God in that man's life. We know how providentially God dealt with him prior to that encounter. And I think, as I have listened to my dear brother many times, not as many times as I would have liked, he is often referred to how God preserved him in early life. And I think of Moses in the Nile. But the Nile, not in him. And I feel, beloved, it is as I look at that kind of dealing with God and from God, I'm sure that God is preparing the vessel for the eagle-like service he has in mind for such a person. And I believe that God has put his hand upon our beloved brother in a very providential way, even before he trusted the Lord Jesus. Even before he was conscious of the call of God. When I look at that passage, you can understand how Moses opened his heart to a revelation of the person who called him. I believe that that constitutes the call of God. God unfolding his majesty, unfolding his mind to a human vessel, as he did to Moses on that occasion. Interesting that in chapter 19, God calls Moses again. In the third verse, he's called from the high position of the mountain. And he is advised to bring the words of God to the people. In a later chapter, we're going to look at those mighty details, and you've done that many times. I believe, brethren, that as I have listened as a younger man, and I look back many years ago, our brother McSheen has elucidated to us his own personal impression of the claims and standards and principles of God for his people. In verse 20 of that chapter, God calls Moses the third time. Or it's the third time we read that he called him. On that occasion, God commits to his servant not so much his person, not so much his principles, but the standards of his purity. He makes them conscious of the separating power of the truth of God. And I believe, as I summarize what I have known and read and heard of the ministry of our beloved brother, he has led us into paths of separation that has given us a regard for the intrinsic holiness of God amongst his people. Not just theoretically, but endorsed by a practical, holy, sanctified life that is given power and effect to his ministry. In chapter 24 of Exodus, the Lord calls Moses again. And he goes into the cloud. And he remains there for 40 days. And with the opening of chapter 25 to the end of the book, we understand that God has given to Moses his pattern. And as he gave it to him, he administered this warning: see that thou make it according to the pattern. I believe that our dear brother, in a very singular way, which is a great mercy, which gives me tonight tremendous confidence, our blessed God has committed to him, and he has committed to us, the clear pattern that marks the sanctuary, the assembly, the dwelling of God. When we come to Leviticus 1, it is from out of that sanctuary the Lord called Moses. That's the fifth time. And Moses receives something that brings God pleasure. It's not now what he displays. He gave that to him in chapter 3 when he saw the fire and the bush and the glory. But here it's his pleasure, what he deserves. And Moses tells the people that if you're going to serve the utmost pleasure of God, you have to bring your offering to the door of the tabernacle. What gives me great joy tonight is this: that I am perfectly sure that from the moment our beloved brother responded to the privilege of assembly testimony, that he has never defected from that path. To me, that is something worth attaining. To me, that is something worth acknowledging. That over these years, I know his ministry, I know his gospel, I know his writings. But brethren, there has been a fidelity in giving God pleasure in the place where he has put his name. That gives me great joy. That has given me tremendous comfort. And you know, as I close, I have known him for 52 years. I came as a little fellow one day to the Lurgan Conference, unannounced, of course, and largely unknown. Took the train, and I think you know who punched my ticket as I came through the gate. I see him yet, the late beloved brother of our brother, Mr. Fairfield. And I got into the Salvation Army Hall, sat down beside what to me was a young man. Shortly he opened an interlinear Greek New Testament, and I sat beside him. And through the concourse of those readings, this dear young man, whom I didn't know, unfolded to me some of the intricacies of the text very quietly, very helpfully in the reading. That was the first ministry I received from our brother. I never forgot that. And like our brother, Mr. Norman Turkington, when I reflect on that occasion, it touches my heart to think that the day would come when I would be privileged to sit with this honored servant at a Lurgan Bible reading and contribute. I tell you how wonderful the grace of God. And so tonight, I honor the privilege of being here to be able just to say that as far as I am concerned, with the glory of God, my utmost motive, that God has raised up an eagle-like man amongst us, of vision, of value, of virtue, and of such wondrous variety.